Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I've tried to calmly and objectively listen to Adam Schiff over the last couple of days and his colleagues, the House impeachment managers. That's proving to be very difficult, I have to be honest with you. I'm unimpressed. But you know what? Let's go through what happened at the Capitol yesterday and what we think might occur over the coming days. Carl Tobias is a law professor at the University of Richmond. Nice enough to join us this morning. Did you tune in for the whole 8 hours yesterday or just catch the highlights, Carl?
Well, I have to admit, I didn't hear all 8 hours.
Okay. Well, I won't disqualify you from commenting just based on that. It'd be, I mean, I think most of the United States Senate probably was wishing that they didn't have to sit through the whole thing. In fact, I heard a lot of them went into the cloakroom just to stretch their legs and grab a coffee rather than actually sitting in the chamber. So they didn't sit through the whole thing, too. But what struck you with the way things were presented by Adam Schiff and his colleagues yesterday?
Well, you know, I think they were pretty methodical, systematic. It's hard to imagine they're going to talk for 24 hours, but I guess they will, and that the senators will sit there and listen to it attentively. But I think we're not learning a whole lot new, and I think we didn't expect to. But I think they're just trying to set the table and tell us what they learned in the last several months and try to raise some of the issues that they're concerned about in terms of the Constitution, and then also trying to see if there's a way to introduce some evidence and perhaps have some more witnesses.
Yeah. That did seem to be a large portion of the presentation yesterday. Was here's kind of a repeat of what we heard before Christmas, but this admonition or plea with senators to demand that documents be introduced and that that witnesses testify. I mean, it wasn't even subtle.
Well, and probably shouldn't be, because the one big issue, I think, for the Democrats is just the president has pretty much stonewalled them, both as to documents and as to witnesses. And so that makes it very difficult to assemble a case if you don't have access to relevant information.
Yeah. You know, this is different than a normal trial in a courtroom. I was listening to a little bit of Rush's show yesterday, and I think one of the themes that he was hitting on was that if the House felt so strongly about these witnesses and about these documents, then they should have taken it to court and litigated it. Yeah, it would have taken a long time, but, you know, pushed back on executive privilege, which most presidents have used in the past. And if they're so confident that ultimately the Supreme Court would have said, yeah, you got to turn this over, then that would have been the process they should have used, rather than rushing to pass the impeachment articles and then taking it to the Senate and then whine about it after the fact. Is that our political spin, or is that a very legitimate legal argument to make?
Well, your first point really is a really critical one that people forget. This isn't a typical trial.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's set up in a way that's pretty different. And, for example, usually you have the evidence first rather than wonder whether it's coming.
But you got to get it. You know, not everybody would just give it to you voluntarily.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. But I think the problem about using the courts to do this is the timing element, and everybody wanted to avoid, I think, the 2020 election year, and here we are. But you know, when you move that quickly, or feel you have to move that quickly, then it's harder to assemble the case. and to use the courts. I mean, it just wasn't, as a practical matter, it wouldn't have happened in time. It just takes too long to do, you know, what needs to be done to move through the three levels in the federal system.
Could you have, could you, given the extraordinary nature of this and the fact that it is the legislature against the executive branch, and it's kind of the very top level of everything here, would it have been possible for them to ask for, you know, cut through some of the judicial red tape and go straight to the Supreme Court? Is that ever done, or is that an ignorant question of me to even ask?
Well, you can try. I mean, and there are provisions for expedited review of all these matters, but even then, you know, you want to have briefing and you want to have oral argument, and so it's very, you know, it just would take, you know, a long time, and especially the Supreme Court, unless you're going to have something very cursory, which probably isn't going to satisfy anybody. It's very hard to get through that process in a short period of time.
Are you all talking about this on campus? Are your students watching this? Is this a tutorial for them? Are they fascinated by it? Or it seems like the American public is kind of tuning it out if you look at the TV ratings. But for folks who are studying law, are you devouring this?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I'm on sabbatical this year, so I'm, I don't get that pleasure, but I can watch. And all my colleagues are teaching in the constitutional law area, and the students are, you know, reading cases, and so they're seeing the history and seeing how the Constitution works and what it says as to impeachment. And so they've got, you know, a real live situation, which is perfect.
Yeah.
And so I think people are fascinated by that, and they'll learn the history and see, you know, that this has only happened three times, and see how different this is than what they learn about, you know, in the federal courts class, you know, what you would do in a normal trial and putting on evidence and all of that.
Well, I've made up my mind on it, but I think it's still important to watch what is happening and know what is being said. There are a lot of things that I think should be concerning, probably on both sides of the issue, even if you would vote to acquit the president. Hey, real quick before we go, I got to ask you about the red flag law that was passed in the state Senate. Have you been following that? You know, everybody's got the due process concerns, even if you think that this is a responsible a piece of legislation to pass. Where do you think things stand with the amendments that were made yesterday, where you'd actually have to go and get a judge to intervene? The cops just couldn't show up and take your weapons because somebody had reported you.
Well, I think that's important, and it seemed to me some of the amendments would assuage some of the concerns that were expressed. But I suppose some of these situations are just urgent, right? And there, I don't know what would happen. I mean, would you, you know, risk someone being seriously injured or even killed while you're trying to persuade a judge? But I like some of the ideas about building in Commonwealth's attorney consultation or that type of thing, because that office should be expert, right? And, would you know, we trust them to balance out public safety and and Second Amendment and other rights.
But it's illegal to make a threat to shoot up a building. Like, you know, if someone were to run their mouth, whether they're drunk or whether they're just angry, and say, I'm going to come back and kill all of you guys, that's illegal, right?
To do what?
To make that threat? To even make the threat?
Oh,
wouldn't that trigger?
Probably. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? We've run out of time, and I'm sorry about that. I'd like to dissect the law, but you know what? It'll continue to move through the General Assembly, and maybe we'll have you back on when we see the final document, hopefully before they vote. Carl Tobias, law professor at the University of Richmond. I always appreciate the chance to talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's 8:15. We'll come back and check traffic and weather together next on News Radio WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.